Tonight on the Sauce Pod, episode 147. It's the Best of the Sauce, volume 1. We're going to pull some clips from episode 1, 5, 72, 60, 61. And so let's do it. Best of the Sauce Pod, episode 147 is next. Good evening, Sauce Pod streamers from coast to coast. It's me, Tony Sometimes, and this is episode number 147 of the Sauce Podcast, coming at you live from inside the FingerLakes1.com studios, deep beneath historic downtown Seneca Falls, New York. It's Monday, Cinco de Mayo, 2014. And tonight we're going to be playing some clips from the past 156 episodes. As we head into summer, we're going to be live with the full crew every other week. And then on the off weeks, we're going to be playing some clips from episodes past. So it'll be fun. A lot of this stuff goes back a few years. We've been doing this for about 3 years now, accumulating over 200 hours of audio, and we're going to play some of our favorite conversations from episodes past. And, you know, what a better way to start out than just to with episode 1, the first moments of the Sauce Pod. And I can cue that up right now, and we're only going to listen to a few seconds of this one. Audio quality not so good in the early days, but this goes back to, oh, geez, what is it? May 10th, 2011. So almost 3 years to the date. Episode 1, It's a Good Sauce. This is the first time Sauce Pod went live on the web. It was audio only back then, so no video. And here, have a listen.
And the boss of the sauce, your host, Ear Media.
Welcome to the Sauce Podcast for the week of May 9th, 2011. I'm your host, Media Stu. I'm joined here tonight in the FingerLakes1.com studios by Saucy Joe.
Hey.
Aaron D.
Hello.
And Tony Sometimes.
What's up, America?
Welcome to our first episode 1 of the Sauce Podcast.
It's our first episode 1.
Episode 1. No idea what we're doing. And here we are doing it.
So what's a podcast? I mean, a lot of people listening to this are like, you know, family and friends that might listen to this first episode may not even know what a podcast is.
Well, a podcast you subscribe to on RSS feed or iTunes. It's almost like a radio show, if you will, about a variety of topics. Ours will more be a talk, entertainment, news, technology, and
what's going on in upstate New York, Finger Lakes region? What podcast do you listen to, Stu?
I listen to WTF with Mark Maron. I listen to the Joe Rogan Experience.
I like the Tobolowsky Files with Stephen Tobolowsky. He's an actor. Some
great
amazing stories,
actor.
A great character actor.
Deadwood.
Yeah, from my favorite show of all time, Deadwood. Got great stories. I listen to a lot of technology podcasts, especially at work. That's about it.
I mean, I pretty much just... So there you go. Episode 1, we came on, we told you all the stuff this podcast was going to be about, and then we told you some of our favorite podcasts. Back in those days, we sat around a table in the far corner of this studio, and actually have grown. Then the table moved, and then the table became couches, and, you know, here we are today. And let's jump ahead a little bit here, though, to that was episode 1. Let's jump ahead 60 episodes to episode 61. This one was recorded on July 16th, 2012. Title of the episode, Fugitive Recovery Agent. And it was named for a private investigator named Scott Bernstein, who, well, you know what? we'll just let you have a listen.
Closer.
Florida's next door neighbor.
It's about fracking.
We call Pennsylvania Northern Florida here.
Steak knife stabbing.
Pennsylvania.
Close. Pennsylvania. Jennifer Aniston movie role lures deadbeat dad home to face $43,000 bill, arrest. As they say, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Now tack on this corollary. If you're a deadbeat parent who has skipped out on your child support payments and a random call suggests you're in line for a role in the next Jennifer Aniston movie, well, you might want to think twice about flying home for your close-up.
Right. Crap.
That's great writing. That's what Joshua Garlathy discovered when he flew in May from Hawaii to Pennsylvania, where he owed over $43,000 in child support payments, according to a Pennsylvania paper, The Morning Call. The 40-year-old had been absent from his child's life for 19 years.
That's a lot of money.
And as his support payment debt grew, he ultimately decided to live in Hawaii, where extradition was apparently too expensive for local law enforcement.
Can't get me on this island.
That meant his ex-girlfriend Beth Ann Holderman and bounty hunter Scott Bernstein, that's a horrible name for a bounty hunter,
Scott Bernstein,
had to come up with a ruse to get him to return. That's how, if you're Scott Bernstein, you rely on a ruse. You don't rely on brute force.
Nope.
Force.
Nope.
He's tactical.
Or Craig Forth.
I'll get my bounty hunter.
Yeah, I heard the Freudian Forth slip.
You don't rely on Craig Forth.
Craig Forth will fuck you up.
We're using brute force.
Don't think you can hide in Hawaii, motherfucker. I'll send Craig Forth out there.
You are in trouble, bitch.
I know his aunt. Scott Bernstein.
Fourth number force. 51.
That's a TV show.
Here's one for you. You want Saucy Joe to read this? I found this in my front door yesterday morning when I was leaving the house.
It's an envelope.
Yep. Read the back.
Oh, there's a note on the envelope.
Dear John Letter.
Okay, here we go. Hi.
Hello.
This is on your door?
This was in, like, stuffed in my door, so when I opened it, it kind of fell. Okay.
Hi, I was driving by looking to rent a small house. Yours looks vacant.
Yours looks vacant.
Is it for rent? Please call me either way. Thank you. Number 1813. Dana. I was looking to rent a small house. Yours looks vacant. Is it for rent?
My fucking car was in the driveway.
The doors were open.
She's not looking to rent a car. She's looking to rent a house. Your car looked used, but your house looks vacant.
There's a fucking air conditioner in the front window, too.
Back left tire's flat. Door is open. Four locals hang out the goddamn window.
So you're going to call this woman right now or what?
I should call right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Seriously, she came on your property and left a note like that.
Call her.
Put her on the air.
Tell her your house isn't vacant.
I'll call her.
You call her.
What the fuck do I care?
I'll call her.
Just when she picks up, first thing you got to tell her is that anything you say may be recorded and distributed across the internet.
Well, there you go, then. You have all legalities involved.
I think it's Daphne.
Nice cursive handwriting. No,
is it Dana?
Dana.
I think that says Dana.
Should we call somebody now?
And with an H at the end. That's weird.
It's Dan.
We can show the note.
What are you looking at? That's me.
I can call Lopez.
That's a picture of me and Dandy.
Oh, this is hard. It's like a mirror. There we go.
There, you've done it.
It's an actual note.
Yeah, with a Rochester number.
Beautiful handwriting, caller. Say hey.
Yours looks vacant. It's funny.
Yours looks vacant.
There's a room open. It's mine.
I don't know, like. I obviously should take that.
She probably back.
Yeah, why don't you buy some fucking
curtains? I haven't
opened
my blinds in like 4 months.
Like buy like a flower box or something. You know,
I just put dirt in the flower beds. I was gonna plant stuff, but
dirt
in
the flower beds. You built a deck. Good call.
I built a deck out back
with no access to it.
There's no stairs.
It's only this far. He's saying from the back porch.
You can't get out. You can't get to it from the house. You got to go outside and then get on the deck. It's like a stage.
It's one stage.
It's more like a stage than a deck.
We have a concert. Yeah.
We could.
All right.
Yeah, we can have Woodstock 2012 at your place.
All right.
I'm gonna touch a dead raccoon night before though.
I'll go with you. What the hell? Let's get some shots. Not?
Let's do it.
Let's get some shots.
If I see a dead raccoon, I'm touching it.
Duh.
If I see a dead raccoon, I'm I'm probably driving 50 miles an hour. There's no way I'm stopping to see a dead raccoon.
What other stories you got? Well, the thing about Scott Bernstein is...
Oh, here we go. Here we go, Scott.
He's a bounty hunter who's definitely, when he gets his man, is pretty proud of himself. Here's what he's had to say upon the arrest. This guy thought he was going to be a star of a motion picture and change his life, and the reverse happened.
Oh, listen to this. This is good. This is like the...
What's the reverse? Dog.
Number one. This doped up junkie's not getting far.
I just want
to say, the law police department's going to kill him.
In a world.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what is the opposite of starring in a movie?
Not starring in a movie?
That's not the opposite, I don't think, of starring in a movie. What is the opposite of starring in a movie?
Being in jail.
It's
not really.
There's no such thing as the opposite of not being in starring in a movie.
Mouse to film the movie?
I guess.
What'd you say? A mouse in your house to
demolish.
Oh, I missed the whole thing. I'm sorry.
Like, is it filming the movie? Is that the opposite? What's the opposite of starring in a movie?
Apparently,
this guy writes it. This is what he says. This guy thought he was going to be the star of a Hollywood picture, but
Scott Bernstein happened.
You just got Bernstein. Scott Bernstein.
Oh my God. I'm Scott Bernstein.
This doped up junkie isn't getting far.
Whatever thug does impresses girlfriend, steal a car.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Whatever thug does impresses girlfriend, steal a car.
I missed those. True TV.
True TV.
Oh my God! They take the boringest story and turn it into something even more boring.
He's doing 35. This high speed chase. Getting out of control.
Just about to get wild.
What this guy and Joe doesn't realize, you can't outrun the law. The law will always get you.
Scott Bernstein.
Scott Bernstein wasn't done talking.
You can't outrun the law.
What else did Scott Bernstein say? He was arrested on the plane in front of 250 people.
Oh, take that. That's really getting Bernstein.
He just got caught, bitch.
Yeah. Bernstein's like, they're like, we can take him when he gets off the plane, or we can go right on there in front of 250 people.
Now, listen, when Bernstein does it, he does it for an audience.
I'm Scott Bernstein, goddammit. I think you know the answer to that question.
I'm Scott Bernstein, bitch.
Bernstein.
Shit.
Bernstein. So they arrested him on the plane.
He always said he wanted to be famous. Now he's famous.
I made him famous. Congratulations.
Scott Bernstein is one man not to be fucked with.
We've talked about Scott Bernstein more than anyone else ever has tonight.
he's
listening, probably loving this right now.
Yeah.
As the noose is going up around something.
Scaffold.
Yep. Yeah. Scott Bernstein. We took him on the plane. So they arrested the guy on the plane.
In front of 250 people.
In a world.
Oh, shit. Like, this plane could have landed in that one.
You're under arrest.
I've been tracking this motherfucker for 17 goddamn years.
I'm the Bernstein, bitch. You're in trouble.
Scott Bernstein. Listen, Scott.
Always gets his man.
Hello,
Scotty. Listen, Scott. Let the authorities take it from here. We got him. No, goddammit, I'm Scott Bernstein. I've been tracking this motherfucker for 17 years.
You are fucking in trouble.
We're taking him now.
Big team, go!
Who do you think you're talking to? I'm Scott Bernstein.
Red team, go!
Bravo, go!
Bravo company, on the rear.
Bravo!
Just another stupid motherfucker thought he could mess with Scott Bernstein.
This guy's got to get a TV show.
I love Scott Bernstein right now.
Oh, yeah. Have a reality
nice show. T-shirt, Nasty Money, Scott Bernstein. Says playing Nasty Money.
I wonder if his picture actually matches the image I have.
Oh, can we
probably not.
Could you Google search the image?
See if you can find
I think it might have
just
a
look for Scott Bernstein Bounty Hunter. He's
I'm,
there.
I'm going to make sure that a goal to get Scott Bernstein on the Sauce Pie for his side of the story.
Via satellite, Bernstein. On a plane about to take down another perp.
If this has a phone number, we're calling him right now.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, absolutely. Scott
He has a training academy.
Of course he does.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite.
He's legit.
Taekwondo guy.
Right. Took down a fucking perp on a plane. Could you do that shit?
Forget about
what
it.
What do you think he looks like?
I think he's got a mullet. I think he's got
I think he's got jeans and a polo shirt.
You got a picture
probably
of him?
Probably some wraparound sunglasses. Are you sure it's the same Scott Burns?
He looks like, did you used to watch WWF?
Yeah.
Used to.
You remember one of the Hart brothers?
Yeah, yep. Which one?
The blonde-haired one.
They're both blonde-haired.
Yeah. Owen.
Yeah, Owen he looks Hart. Like Owen Hart. I don't know, Harley Davidson with boots, jeans.
Well, turn it around. Show, you got to show everybody this.
I think no, he's I pulling up now.
You got it? I want to see this because there's, I got to see this.
He looks just like Owen Hart.
Oh!
Scott Bernstein's kicking your ass down.
I'll, I'll tell you what.
That's a burn stud.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Scott Bernstein, fugitive recovery agent.
Look at that. There's an autograph in the background. It's like Joey Buttafuoco. He's like, it's me and Joey.
To Scott.
Autograph. Love you.
Have a good summer. Stay the same.
He has made over 6,200 documented arrests. Been featured over 1,400 times in TV appearances.
The Bernstein.
Scott Bernstein isn't all serious. Sometimes Scott Bernstein likes to party.
Oh, I still wouldn't fuck with that guy.
Guy just got back from the gun show.
That's the only time he got laid.
Oh! Scott Bernstein
joke.
You're his next freaking
you're in
collar
trouble.
For sure.
Wait till you pee somewhere out in public again.
The next time you do anything remotely illegal, I'm calling Scott Bernstein on you. Just to see him take you down. I just want to see a foot chase.
This
I think those.
You might win the Scott Bernstein foot chase, though. He might.
Oh, I think so because I think I think those photos we saw of Scott Bernstein are dated because I have a more current one. Here he is.
Oh, oh yeah.
Look at this!
I think he's just using this website to pick up women.
Does he got more hair now?
How's that?
No, but he's got a mock FBI coat.
Yeah. I don't know.
Female body inspector. Get out.
Here is how Bernstein sees women contribute and how vital women are to the industry. Because of their sex, women are more desirable to both men and women, especially to a fugitive on the run.
Absolutely.
Fugitive on the run requires three fundamental needs to be fulfilled.
Number one.
Sex.
That's good. Number two.
Money.
Number three.
Shelter.
Shelter.
He's a smart one.
I'm a fugitive
four?
On the run.
Because
there are the three needs
four.
That I have, too.
All of the above.
Women properly trained using the science of pretexting can offer this to the fugitive and lure them in. A man cannot.
It's true.
A man like Scott Bernstein could, though.
He's saying that women offer pretext. I see. Yeah. But what Scott Bernstein does every time now is like, oh, you remember what worked really well? That Jennifer Aniston ruse. The old Jennifer Aniston movie scam. We're going to run that again. Yeah.
If we get 100 likes on Facebook, I'll take the 2-day Scott Bernstein course for $795.
Okay. Done. And jump out of it. You're going to do it midair.
I'll throw 100 in. I'll throw 100 in for that.
You're going to do it while skydiving, right?
Yes.
Take that course. It's going to be awesome. Bernstein.
While listening to the Great Scott and the Tall CD.
That's right.
The one in New York is in September.
We're changing all,
perfect.
All
perfect.
Chuck Norris jokes and now Scott Bernstein jokes.
Bernstein
that's
jokes.
It. Scott Bernstein has a toenail on his penis. Anyway, what's next before we get doing something else? Because Scott Bernstein has got my imagination now.
He's captured the imagination of Sauce by listeners.
I
worldwide.
Believe we just found the first and middle name of your new son.
Scott Bernstein for all.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. I hope Amanda, if you're listening, go to sleep.
No, do you think it's as hot in Scott Bernstein's office as it is here tonight?
Do you think he's sitting in like a fake red leather chair? Like
your leg's going to be sticking to that thing.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
If you stand up, we'll be able to hear it.
It's unbelievable.
I'm moving around here. I'm getting uncomfortable.
Dan, do we got any mail?
We actually did get some mail.
Well, then let's
from
do this thing up. Hold
Scott
on.
Bernstein.
Is it from Rudy?
Scott Bernstein.
Nope.
Pissed. You've got some letters.
Good old Scott Bernstein, fugitive recovery agent. That was a lot of laughs. Got another clip here for you. That was episode 61. Let's jump ahead. Oh, what is this? About 18 episodes to episode 79, episode called The Marlboro Man. where Dandy Aaron D tells his stories of being invited to the Marlboro Ranch. Dandy is a preferred customer, and apparently they ship you right out there to the Marlboro Ranch. And, you know, what goes on in the Marlboro Ranch, you ask? Well, have a listen.
Let's see, what have we talked about so far tonight? Oh, Dandy. Now, long-time Sauce Pod listeners will remember that a year ago this time, our friend Dandy Aaron D received a gift from Marlboro. As he's a longtime supporter of that brand. And now this year, just this week, the new gift came from Marlboro. They sent him a gift every year on his birthday.
You're on their Christmas
list. Is it a
list.
Christmas gift? Yeah. Is it a Christmas gift?
I got a card with a free pack of cigarettes in it. What'd you
it
get?
Says,
you got a box.
Officially, all birthdays start at midnight. And then you open the box up. It says, happy birthday. Sweet pair of aviators.
Oh, you got some sweet sunglasses.
What? I got a pack of cigarettes and you got a pair of sunglasses. I'm so pissed.
RJ Reynolds gives back.
Wow, you're going to look so cool with those on.
Put them on now.
Please. I don't wear sunglasses.
Yeah, but
that's
put them
why
on.
I said
put
you
them on.
Sandy, do it for I'll the sake of the show. You also don't like you don't eat candy bars either,
sunglasses.
But you ate 40 of them last week.
How is that stash going from last week, Dandy? Did you eat them all yet?
No, I gave most of them away.
Oh, what ended up being
hopefully the needy people.
Yeah, episode. Thanks.
Who won?
Oh, man, you look sharp.
You should never take them off.
That is
look
a good
that.
Look for you.
Yeah. You got the perfect 70s looking face right
you look
there.
Good.
It's got a bag, too.
Hey. Look at that.
I wonder what you'd use that for.
You are straight out of the late 70s.
You can polish your sunglasses with them. Wow, looking good, Dandy, on the sunglasses.
I thought the show was liberal.
Thanks, Marlboro. So I got another gift coming in the mail, too, in like 6 to 8 weeks. But
how do you know that?
Because that's what the email said. Remember, I sent the email to you.
You're in constant correspondence.
Log onto that site once a week, and I can't get nothing from it. I got a bottle opener, and what else did I get?
I went to the
a
Marlboro
water bottle.
I went to the Marlboro Ranch.
That's true. Are you kidding me?
He did. Why. He did. I remember that.
Yeah.
You should send him.
I guess I don't log on enough.
You should send him some of these wings, Rago. Huh?
Yeah.
You should send him some of these wings. They'd probably still be hot when they got there.
When you went to the ranch, was it like all expense paid? You smoked enough cigarettes, come visit us?
Yeah, and they gave me a check for $1,500. And then when we got there, they gave us like $5,000 worth of shit.
At what point are you lying, or is this all true?
I got pictures of it all.
Why did they give you $1,500?
Why did they give you?
They were line dancing, riding animals, zip lining. You did all kinds of cool shit out there, didn't you?
So you're actually, if you go on the website, you might see pictures of you on the
website.
Yeah,
probably.
Because they do have pictures.
They do them like once a month.
To see if I can get coupons.
So he's not kidding. He really does visit that website all the time.
I
and you're just rubbing it in his face.
I have it bookmarked on my computer.
He pays you wings and you brag.
I only go on when they send me an email.
You're kidding me, because I log on there all the time to try and get free stuff.
You're like, Dandy, we haven't seen you lately. Please come back so we can give you more stuff.
I think it's the coupons they send you have your name and shit on, so see that you use them.
Where is the ranch in Tobacco Road,
Montana.
North Carolina? What?
Yeah.
You've been to Montana.
Yeah, dude, I got it. You've never seen all
the
pictures.
To the Marlboro Ranch, you got to see the pictures. He's a cool guy.
Mr. Marlboro.
No, this guy.
I got a cowboy hat, a fucking real one too, a Stetson.
Nice.
See that? What size?
From
is it?
Marlboro.
I was gonna say
it's a size that fits my head. I don't know. They take your head. They take your head size when you get
very
there.
Very small,
8.5. That's unbelievable. Really, they singled you out as such a preferred customer.
And you get to bring a friend too.
And you did.
Yeah.
Who'd you bring?
Rob Elcott.
Oh no shit!
They had the best time of their lives.
I would imagine the pictures I saw on the website are awesome.
Tony sometimes and I are. We're calling the Middle East, and we want to know where our camel packs are, where our trips to Pakistan are.
Where's my Turkish blend pack?
Turkish domestic blend.
That's everything I got when I got there.
Can you show that to the camera? Hold on a second. Hold it steady. A little closer.
Closer.
That was the bet when you got there.
Closer.
You got it. Shit me. That one year
so you walked in the room and that's what you saw, huh?
Yeah. I was logging on every day and Rocco all I got was a bottle opener, a water bottle, and an ashtray.
He's green with envy.
I would try to redeem all this shit back in for a normal bed.
And before you go, they
like
send
a decent hotel room.
Before you go,
this?
They send you two duffel bags, like with wheels on them and shit, so you can bring your stuff.
Look at this
so they send you a suitcase.
It just upsets me because I've been a loyal freaking Marlboro smokers.
I don't know. I bum a lot of cigarettes off you. You smoke Senecas.
Well, yeah, when I'm being cheap, but I haven't been being cheap lately because I just love Marlboros.
Dandy won't go cheap.
They've been watching Rocco.
He'll cash in quarters.
That's it. They know that.
No, I'll do the same thing, too. I keep my quarters. You ask the girls at Burn Dairy. I'm in there every day.
To Burn Dairy. Can you get Burn Dairy on the line? Get the Burn Dairy. We have a direct line with Burn Dairy.
On the horn.
Those girls.
We call it Burnt Larry's Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Dandy won't compromise, and they know it. So they send him things.
Awesome.
Those are good wings, Rocco.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's not only the taste, it's the texture.
It's so easy to do. I like cooking.
It's easy to do when you're you, buddy. It's easy for you. And there you go. Dandy Aaron D, preferred customer of Marlboro. And there were no jokes there. He went out to the Marlboro Ranch and take him $5,000 worth of stuff. Oh, good for Dandy. Let's now jump back in time to, what's the date of this one? Well, it's episode 5. I could tell you that much. And from June of 2011. Now, the thing I like about this one is it was our first guest in the Sauce Pod. Again, this is a no video clip back when we were just doing the audio podcast. And our first guest ever on episode 5, Axe Nasty, local fisherman. And this was coming off the heels of the 2011 Finger Lakes Carp Derby that was held, it was held the day before this was recorded. And Axe Nasty gives his report. And, let's see here. That's the beginning of the episode. Let's jump ahead.
Suck at LeBron. I saw it. I watched exactly
that. Yep. You really
hate that guy. I'm going to start calling him Joffrey.
I don't hate LeBron.
Yeah, we're talking about LeBron James. Let's get ahead to old. Oh, there we go. There we go. So, Axe Nasty. Back then, we didn't bring our guests in off the top, I guess. We actually started the show and then introduced him. Still talking about LeBron James. So I think this was 2011. They hadn't won. This was the first year.
Not five, but six championships.
Yeah, it's the first year of LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and they didn't win that year. So apparently we thought that was important.
Did Chris Bosh start crying?
On episode 5.
Nobody cares about Chris Bosh. No.
After a while, we decided not to talk about sports at all, unless it was like the Super Bowl or something like that.
Shit, bringing it back local.
So here we go.
Finger Lakes Carp Derby was this weekend.
Hell yeah, event of the year on the social calendar.
Well, you know what that music is. It's time for the fishing hole with Axe Nasty.
First guest on, Axe Nasty.
How y'all doing?
Welcome, Axe Nasty, to the podcast.
What's up, Axe Nasty? Now, Axe Nasty, for some background, is a local fisherman.
That's right.
And enthusiast.
28 years strong.
And, he actually competed in the Carp Derby.
Yes, I did.
But you didn't catch anything, did you, Axe?
No, it was, let me tell you something about this Carp Derby. All right. I've been competing in this Carp Derby for the last 12 years. It's been on and off every year. But usually the weather, it's so strong, you know, it's 90 degrees, there's spawn and this and that. We don't catch crap anyways. And this year, beautiful, cold, rainy. We thought it was perfect.
Oh, that's better conditions.
Oh, yeah.
Real cold and wet.
For all fishing or just carp?
Generally all fishing, I think, for the carp especially.
Do you mind if from here on out I refer to it as fishing instead of fishing?
Yeah, you got to call it the fishing.
All right.
Absolutely.
Fishing. So perfect conditions, no carp. But somebody caught a big carp, I saw.
Lunker. Shane O'Hara.
A lunker.
38.75 pounds.
That's a big anything.
X, what constitutes a
lunker? It's bigger than
my
2-year-old child. It is. It's like reeling in children. It's incredible.
Yeah? What constitutes a lunker?
Maybe. Well, I believe the biggest weight in was about 42 pounds. Something like
that's a lot of fish meat.
Like biggest ever in the carp derby history?
Mm-hmm.
So he was close. The animals of the carp derby?
He was close. You know, I mean, I believe the state records is up in the 50s. I'm not positive. But
it's like 2.5 bowling balls. How do you reel that? I mean, you're not out there on the, you know, like you're fishing for marlin, right, with a big rod and the 100-pound test line. How do you do it? How do you bring in the big carp?
About 20-pound test.
20-pound test to catch a 38-pound fish?
Yeah, that's all. You can bring one in about 6-pound test. But I'll tell you something, what? This carp derby, people go crazy. They use the braided line. They use the monofilament. They use the freaking fluorocarbons. They use this.
Is all that legal, or is that like steroids for carp derbies?
You have to catch a carp with a hook, all right? You can't just go out with your freaking
spear,
Weatherby shotguns or your Ithaca shotguns and shoot them. Grab a net and pull them in. You can't shoot them with a bow and arrow.
That's how they do it down in Louisiana.
That's how they do it in freaking Demonts. Are you kidding me?
But they eat them there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you something about eating carp. All right. The Chinese, back in the day, it was the first people who started the, you know, fishery, you know, fish hatcheries, this and that. It started with the carp. All right, because they ate them all. All you got to do with the carp is take the mud line out and eat the thing, supposedly.
Is it a lot of meat? Like,
no,
where's
it's
like
a lot
hair?
Of meat. It's a 38-pound fish, yeah, man.
Where's
the carp come That's from? They weren't, like, indigenous to
it. No, carp are, you know, Europe. They come over in, like, the 1800s. They stocked them in the rivers around here because it's a huge game fish over in Europe. Huge game. And I'll tell you something about the carp, too, is they fight like a bastard. You know, you get one out, it's not like a little sunfish or a little bass. I mean, you know, you got a good 10-15 minute fight, you know. Good pulling and tugging.
Not something you usually get in the lake fishing.
No. I mean, unless, you know, you're doing the trout, sometimes you get those nice big, you know, big lake trout, something like that.
Like Josh had one. There was a picture on Finger Lakes, one of him holding this big ass lake trout. I mean, that looked like about as big as a carp.
Caught with you, correct?
That's right, yeah. We were out, we were south of Guernsey's Cove.
Fishing.
We weren't fishing, we were fishing. It was, all right, I'll tell you something. We started in about 40 foot of water, and we weren't doing. We got nothing. We stayed there for 2 hours, and then we went out deep, and we started in about 80 foot of water, and we started trolling. We got a nice laker, but, I mean, it was only, you know, 8-10 pounds.
Really?
But, you know, going back to the carp, I mean, Chris, that's a small carp.
Yeah, like I guess
8-10-pound carps like that. But, you know, you get those 38-pound carps, they got lifts like my thumb. I mean, are you kidding me?
How do they get so big? What do they fucking eat?
They're eating off the bottom. They're eating all the trash you throw in the canal behind the reds. Are you kidding me?
So, you've eaten carp?
Mm-mm.
Never. Have you ever seen
it? No, I got to say, I've never eaten a carp. I bet you, you know, I really can't pass judgment on how a carp tastes. I bet you it's not very good.
When you say you got to take out the mud line, that's the poop track, right? Is that what you're talking about there? Digestive.
We can call it poop tracks. We can call it whatever we want.
I'm just curious, just trying to clarify.
Yeah.
On your classier shrimps, they have a poop track.
Sure. You want to take that out.
Got to devein the carp.
Well, there's, in fish, you have something called a lateral line. It goes right down the middle of their body. That's how they sense movement. You know what I'm saying?
It's like they're nervous.
Yeah, and it's dark meat. Excuse me. It's dark meat, and you can see it clear as day. You just cut it right out. It's a freaking mud line.
Now, is that right along their spine?
No, it's right in the middle of their breath. You know, their spine goes, you know, just like
goes
that.
Right through the old centerpiece.
Right down the center of
right.
it.
Right. Well, that's interesting.
Huh. You sure know a lot about carp.
So what do
that's
you,
why we had John.
What kind of bait are you using?
Did you chum the water up all week long?
You use all kinds of corn?
Corn, man. I'll tell you something.
What are some of the techniques that people use?
My buddy, we'll call him Bill. He went down, it was about a week ago. A week before the derby, he bought a $20 bag of Old Roy dog food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ever smelled Old Roy?
It's awful.
It's awful. It's low grade. He goes down, he goes to the end of the dock, he throws it out. He throws, you know, a couple of handfuls, maybe a coffee kit full of Old Roy out for about a week. And lets it set, and then we go down. I mean, honestly, it obviously didn't work
very well. That's why I didn't catch no fish. You fucked up dog food. You got to throw the corn out.
Yeah, corn is usually what they would use.
Well, that's an old wives' tale, right?
No, man. Corn is the finest bait that you can possibly have in the water.
Carp?
Yeah. All right, so went down to the Mace Point bait store. Now, this is a classic bait store. You go in, you can buy sandwiches, you know, your ham, your turkey.
That's people bait. Sandwiches.
You can buy sandwiches. I went sandwiches. In and they go, you want carp candy? They asked me if I wanted freaking carp candy. And this lady goes into the refrigerator, pulls out this ball of carp candy. You know, it's about 8 inches wide. She goes, hey, you know, this is the good stuff. This is what we use in the canal. Now, canal fishing is a hell of a lot different than lake fishing, let me tell you what.
In what way?
Well, you got moving water. You know, the carp can come from Seneca Lake. They can come from freaking Ontario. And it's all the drainage. It's all coming right into the canal. You know, you never know what you're going
to get. It's for carp on the move.
That's right. It's for your various carp.
Carp don't necessarily live in the canal, right? They just go back and forth?
They can certainly live in the canal. They would love to live in the canal. But, you know, if they get out into the north end of Cuba Lake, which was, you know, that's where I was fishing. Nice shallow zone. There's a lot of detritus floating around, which is decaying organic matter. That's what they want. They want that nasty crap to eat off the bottom. So I figured Axe Nasty was in the finest fishing hole.
With a perfect weather condition.
In the Tri-County freaking area.
In a perfectly seated piece of area with Old Roy Dog Roy. $20.
They came by and took a whiff of that and just kept going.
Tri-County. Yeah, Old Roy. I can't believe it didn't work.
But it wasn't meant to be. So when you walk into that bait shop at Mace Point, is there an old grimy guy that's staring at you saying, oh, boy, you look like you're a long way from home.
No, it was this.
you looking for some carp candy?
No, it was a fine Demont's local, I'm sure. She'd come out with the 8-inch freaking thing of carp candy, pink as hell. She goes,
you want the 8-inch thing of carp candy?
Yeah, I was suspect of it. But, you know, this lady comes out, and she asked me, I bought it. It was probably $2.50, and this was a few years ago. I used it. Never worked. So, you know, we used that for the entire derby and didn't catch a damn thing. This is probably 3 years ago. So we've always just gone from the corn. Since then, no gimmicks, just straight up.
Until this year when you went with Old Roy.
Well, we didn't use Old Roy as bait.
Oh, you just chum it out.
That's chum. That's chum. I mean, we used the...
I could have told you that. That's not going to work. My dog wouldn't even go near that.
You should have squeezed out some little Caesars packets into the water.
You think that would have brought them
a bit more expensive, but...
Caesars?
You know, a little Caesar, like cat food, but it's for small dogs.
Oh, I gotcha.
So what is a carp candy made of? Do you know what that was made of?
It's impossible to say. It's got to be a Demont special.
Is it homemade?
Now, let's think about this. What the hell could carp candy be made of?
Was it human meat?
No, listen to me. I mean, they're eating detritus. They're eating dead, decaying, organic material.
So what did it...
What would you want to put in there?
What did it look like? What color was it?
It was pink, dude. It was 8 inches long, and it was in the... It was circular, and it was 8 inches long, and it was...
Was it like what a paste?
Yeah,
chalky paste?
Yeah, it was like a resin ball. You ever seen a big resin ball?
And you just push it into the water?
Yeah, what you do is you chunk it around your hook and you cast the damn thing out there.
Right.
Oh, right.
I've seen that
kind
of thing before.
Like kind of like dough?
Used as bait. It's like a doughy...
So I'm sure there's some sugar, some kind of sugar or corn syrup to probably bind it all together.
Probably, yeah.
Well, yeah, you'd think you'd have a little vanilla extract, maybe some garlic. I put minced garlic. Doesn't like garlic, you know?
Yeah, carp, I'm sure. Like carp? Garlic.
Well, clearly they don't. Like.
Well, that's true. Who knows?
But who knows? Who knows if the Demont special included carp?
Would hot dogs garlic? Work?
Everyone likes hot dogs. How could a hot dog not work?
It would float, wouldn't it?
It's probably roadkill.
Not with a sinker.
Not with a sinker.
Beef or pork?
I'd go beef.
What about
Let the beef rot just a little bit?
What about a hot dog?
Snappy griller?
Snappy griller.
Huh. That's interesting.
See, I don't think they really give off too much of a... You need something that's going to give off shit around the water around it so the carp smells it and like, boom. Yeah,
something with
I think
a
snappy
fragrance.
Griller's definitely got more fragrance than a kernel of corn.
But you don't hear people fishing with hot dogs. It's all about corn.
Corn, you could also use cheese curds.
Oh, I believe that,
yeah,
sure.
Cheese curds. Cheese curds work.
Who doesn't? I'm not giving cheese. Up cheese, though.
Right. But I'm a guy with fishing, you carp. Know, corn has been the most productive... bait I've ever used, so why not use it for the derby? You know, I've experimented, you know, 2 or 3 years out of my, you know, 12, 15 year existence at the derby, and Nothing's ever produced like the corn. So this year we went with the corn, but we still got nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all this experience,
it's hard
bait-wise.
Old Roy was the difference.
Well, right. You know, it could have been the Old Roy. Maybe it gave out a nasty barrier.
It sounds like it. Like,
maybe the location wasn't everything you thought it was.
The location, it couldn't have been perfect. I mean, the 2 weeks before, we caught a 35-pounder right out of it.
That's a lunker.
All right, oh. And a half hour later, we caught a 40-pounder out of it. Would have won the damn derby.
And I saw a picture of that fish.
I'll show you all pictures of it right now.
Ridiculous.
Can we, yeah, the derby. We got to post that.
Yeah, we got to post that, definitely. But
check that out at
I think it's called
thesaucepod.com.
Saucepod.com, for sure. But I think it's just called Derby Luck, man. It's terrible stuff.
Yeah, it's that being that the right moment at the right time. Catch that perfect carp that you've been dreaming about. I'll tell you what, though, if you were a carp, what a horrible, horrid day. I mean, they bring them in, line them up at the weigh-in, hundreds of dead carp all strung up.
Now, I've gone down to the derby.
Mother carp.
Yeah. I've gone down to the derby.
Father carp.
I've seen 10, 12, 15, 18 carps brought in on a freaking piece of string that goes 12 feet behind the person. Just dragging
a bunch of carp?
Yeah, and you know that come from demons. You know what I'm saying?
Show some respect to the fish, man.
I mean, you know, some people come in a nice cooler, you know, got the locker in there, but, you know, you get a
carps in relative luxury inside one of those coolers.
If you were to catch a fish, what would you put it in?
If I was going
to
catch
If you were going to bring it to the weigh-in.
We brought it in a red S10 one year, just right in the back. We backed it right in.
Did you fill it back up with water?
Listen to this. I rode in the back the truck of the bed
with the fish.
That is respect.
We had 18 carp. This, all right, let me think about this. Maybe 01 to 03, somewhere in there, we had 18 carp, I swear to God. And we were young, you know, blah, blah, blah. We caught a big 23-pounder. We thought it was going to win. We did. You know,
that seemed pretty big at the time.
It seemed big.
It,
you know, no, I mean, it was a monstrous carp to us. We brought it in, and as soon as we put it on the scale, the guy said, that's not going to do anything. Really? You know? I asked the guy if the scale was right. He goes, of course the scale's right.
Get out of here, but kid. Come back with a real fish next year.
This giant of a man, he must have weighed 325 pounds sitting next to the scale drinking Budweiser's for God knows how many hours, telling me that the scale's not freaking right. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, 10 minutes later, I saw one come in, saw a carp come in, seriously, with lips like my thumb, and it was just unbelievable. Obviously dwarfed my carp within a glance.
I think that one of the allures of the carp derby is the fact you get so many, you know, such monstrous fish. It's like scary to be close to one of these monsters.
Out of fresh water, yeah. I mean,
so carp, ugly.
Pound for pound, they give a hell of a fight.
They are hideous. I mean, I know you got love for the fish and everything, but man, they're hideous to look at. Yeah,
people swim in the lake with them carp swimming around in there
too. Freaking giant eyes.
What do they do with them after though?
Yeah, that's a question I have.
Like, there's got to be like two, three.
Take out the mud line and dine, feast.
No, they put them into the back of an 18-wheeler and they bring them out to some farmer's farm and they use them for
fertilizer. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
I'm glad they moved it to Waterloo because it used to make Sonic Falls reek that whole day.
It does smell unique smell. You know, the carp derby's in town.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. You can smell it from the Tri-County area.
People come from around to compete in the carp derby, though. Mm-hmm. Would you say it's the best carp derby in the world?
Would you say it's the area's premier carp derby?
I would have to say so, for sure. I mean, people are fishing Ontario, Saturday. Any local water body, as long as you can get to Oak Island between noon and 3 and weigh your fish in.
That's true. They don't know where you got it from.
That's right. I mean, you could put, all right, let me tell you this. You could catch a carp 3 weeks earlier, put it in a dog cage in about 6 foot of water and feed it Old Roy until it gets to, you know, for about 2 or 3 weeks. Bring it into Oak Island. They're going to weigh it in. They're not going to think twice about it. They're not going to think
57 pounds.
$500.
Do you think people do that?
I do.
Definitely. 100%. Absolutely. Man, $500 is at stake. Kidding me?
That's big money for the freaking carp. Are you kidding me, man? But,
you buy a lot of Old Roy with $500.
That's right. You could. But hey, it was a fine carp.
What else is on the Finger Lakes fishing schedule this year?
Got this Chamber of Commerce bass tournament at Cougar Lake, right? The Seneca Lake Trout Derby was like last week, right?
Yep, it was Memorial Day weekend.
Do you trout derby it?
I don't trout derby it. I don't have a sufficient enough boat for Seneca Lake. I just have the old 14-foot aluminum with a 9.9.
And there you go. That's going back to June of 2011, episode 5, and that was Axe Nasty on the fishing hole. First guest ever. There's more to that episode, but the audio quality wasn't quite as pleasurable to listen to back in those days. But if you do want to go back and listen to it, that's episode 5. It's got to be a Demon special from June of 2011. Well, before we put a wrap on episode 147, the first of what will be several best of the Sauce Pods, got one more clip for you. And this one would be from, this would be episode 72, titled, Do You Stand or Sit? From October 1st, 2012. And, I think that episode title speaks for itself. So here it is. Have a listen.
After the podcast, I get on the old computer, and I get an instant message from guess who?
DC Wendy Dan Lovelace. Lafay.
Polly Always. And he says to me, Tony, here's an interesting fact for you.
Factoid.
He says, 50% of people take a crap sitting or wipe after taking a crap. Sitting down, 50% while standing up, and either side doesn't know the other side exists. In other words, and I said, "Well, I stand up." And he's like, "What?
You do?
Yeah,
see, I say the same thing. It's fucking absurd."
You're shocked. How about you guys? Stand or sit for the wipe?
Stand.
Get the fuck out of here!
How your butt cheeks closed?
Seriously, how could you wipe?
What do you mean they close?
Those guys are called dirty ass guys. Yeah. You guys got dirty asses.
We are called clean. Yeah. How can you? I mean, I got full access once I stand up.
Full access?
What do you guys do? Lean to the side?
Your cheeks go together.
When you're standing up, you can do anything you want with your cheeks.
Why is that big of a mess? I can solve this argument right away. If that was the best way to do it, you would shit standing up too, because it can come out just as easily.
No, that's not true at all. Fucking stupid. Wiping and
you have full access when
totally
you shit.
Different, totally
you
different.
Need full access to shit.
I think you
therefore, you need full access to wipe your sitting
you
down.
You just fired Saucy Joe up.
Well, that's the point of the thing. Is like I say, if stand up, you guys are appalled.
Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing.
And the weirdest part is it is 50%. It's 50-50. I've never heard of this.
I've never heard anything like that before in my life, that someone would stand up to wipe their ass. It makes no sense.
You lean forward like a little teapot and everything opens up for you.
You already like sitting down.
Are you saying you stand up and lean over as if you're doing toe touches?
Like I this. Stand up on all.
Are you kidding me?
No. How
that's
do you
still
wipe
going
your,
sideways. That's
ass,
the same thing, really. Just
how do you wipe your ass sitting down? Like, what do you fucking shove your hand in that little spot between your feet?
That's what I wonder. It seems like it's tight. You can't get in there. He's like appalled. It's clearly,
we're more cleanly
standing up.
Not true. Shoving your hand down in those little shit particles floating around.
Not true. You know who would
we'll be? We'll ask.
In 2 weeks.
Next week. Oh, yeah.
I think it's the 15th.
Only going to know one way that exists.
Julie Lovelace.
Right. She's not going to even know the other one.
I bet you she's a standard.
If anybody knows if both, it's her. I've never heard of anything like that. Like standing up. How do you do it?
Yeah.
You stand up, you take the paper, and you do your business.
What do you mean stand up, though? Are you standing up?
Yeah, I stand completely up.
like the national anthem's on. You're stood up.
That is unbelievable.
Well, no, I don't stand up straight at attention. You just keep your legs spread a little bit. You get access down there. You do as much wiping as you need to do.
It's funny you bring that up tonight because there's a new product out. I think it's called like the squatter pot or something.
Squat pot.
But it adds girth to the toilet seat, so you're more at a standing position. Let me pull it up here. I just saw this the other day on the news.
Well, it has no correlation to how you defecate.
He's saying if you wipe your ass standing up, then you would shit standing up.
Yeah, I don't
agree
with
that. This product brings you more to a stand-up position when you're shitting.
I don't necessarily want to stand up, though, when I do that.
Well, that's the kind of product that just comes along because we've been doing it one way for so long, and someone's like,
it's the progressive.
You know what everybody does? If I could change the way everybody shits, I'll be rich.
Right.
It's actually stands to reason.
Wow, Polly Always. Thank you for that. It's really interesting, actually. Now I'm going to have to ask more people.
Yeah, and the interesting part of it is that each half doesn't know the other half even doesn't know there's another method.
I don't agree with that. I think that the standers know that the sitters do what they do.
The deviants.
I didn't really ever think about it till that was posed to me.
But I'm like totally blindsided by the fact that people would wipe their ass standing up.
Have either of you tried the normal way?
I love the way you posed that question. Good phrasing, Rudy.
Wait, did you guys know the way we do it existed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I did. Once he told me, because
you were taught that way
to sit. Yeah.
So you
I'll walk right over to your mom's house.
I go outside the box.
Dandy evolved. He's evolved his pooping.
Oh no! So you were taught the orthodox way. We'll call it the missionary wipe.
Yep.
What the hell were you when you decided to go different?
He's a little adventurous.
I don't know. As long as I can remember.
But you can remember doing it the right way before.
I can definitely get the thing spotless by standing, where I don't know if I could sitting. It just seems
like... You gotta,
like
grab a cheek and spread a little bit, or what?
The squatty pot.
No, I just kind of... It just, the way you stand, it provides good access, and you can...
Impossible.
Go to town, but usually about three different pulls from the toilet paper, and I fold. Don't crumple.
The method is once up, once down, once to polish.
Sometimes
it's
I'll
traditional British method.
Sometimes I'll go to the sink and get the last piece a little wet, and make sure things are...
So you've now
waddled
through
the
bathroom.
Well, I do not like the idea of walking around with
a dirty
crap on my butthole. You know,
surprising since you stand up to wipe.
No, that's why I do. I can get a cleaner. I mean, my goal is total cleanliness, and I feel I can achieve it better standing.
You may as well just use wet naps at all times.
I would. You know, sometimes my daughter, we keep those things handy, those little child handy wipe type of deals.
I got them right on the back of my toilet.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, God bless you.
Actually, I was wrong. The squatty potty is a stool that you put on the floor, so it raises your legs up.
Right, so you're actually getting more access.
Okay, it shows you when you're sitting and when you're squatting, how your rectum works.
Right, you're getting more. You're getting more access.
Can one of you act out
the process? I just fucking showed you.
Not really. I mean,
you were like, yeah.
I'll tell you what, you guys. Next time, just for fun, for scientific purposes, when you're done, stand right up. I mean, get right up off of there and stand up, and then go from there and tell me how it comes out next week.
It's going to be awkward, I can tell. It's
the squatty potty's product features: faster, cleaner bathroom visits, prevents and treats hemorrhoids.
There you go.
Numerous colon health benefits, natural squatting position over your own toilet. Excellent potty training aid for children.
The only time you squat over a toilet is when it's not your toilet.
Right.
But when you squat, it's you're more up and down.
Yeah.
Straight. When you're sitting like this, the shit's got to go down and then out.
We talk about shit a lot.
Wait, think about before toilets.
Yeah, we talk about disgusting things. Yeah. Somebody tunes in. Imagine somebody tunes in.
Wow.
Tonight for the first time. Oh, a sauce pod. What's
it? It's
going to
be one of two things. They're going to agree with one of us, and they're going to argue their side. You know.
But Roger says, what makes sitting the right way?
Roger freaking is a stander too.
Oh, God.
The bottom line is, this is something everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
That's why we talk
everybody
about
poops.
It. It's the only reason why. Because everybody could. Now, what were you going to say now?
Before toilets, everybody squatted that low to the ground to poop. You didn't poop from a distance above the ground. People who wanted to poop, you weren't going to have a chance to, you know. You squatted over a hole.
Been watching Walking Dead Season 2, and I wonder about some of these people, because they never show them going, but I know in the situation they're in, they're all going in the woods.
You think they're all just backed up? They've never pooped?
No, I mean, they just never show them, but, you know, I thought about that. I'm like, geez, they never show anybody going to the bathroom, but it must be.
They're saving it for the last episode.
Yeah.
It's a twist.
It's going to be a big shit storm.
So that's episode 72. Of the Sauce Pod. Do you stand or sit? Recorded on October 1st, 2012. And Rudy P. Ringtone on the couch for that one. He hosted a fair number of episodes of the Sauce Pod. And pretty good at it. He added a lot to it. But that particular episode, I think, blew a lot of people's minds, because that's a statistic has proven to be pretty true, as I would ask people after that episode of, you know, do you stand or sit? And once it's about 50-50, and one side can't believe it because they didn't really realize that the other thing existed, which is kind of crazy. I'll tell you which one would be more embarrassing to be walked in on, and that would be the standing method. But I suppose either way would be pretty embarrassing. But anyways, that about puts a wrap on episode 147 of the Sauce Podcast. We'll be back next Monday night with a normal episode. This was volume one of the Best of the Sauce Pod. And 2 weeks from now, it'll be volume two. We'll pick out some more clips from old Sauce Pods. So, happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm Tony Sometimes. And thanks for listening to the Best of the Sauce Pod. Good night now.
Great local content like this by becoming a patron of FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1.